Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
And I'm Talon Williams.
And we're here with a special guest, Magic Thighs from Chattanooga Roller Derby. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
You know, it's a beautiful day outside, and I was fortunate enough to wake up to be able to do this interview, so it's a plus.
No complaints.
Any day above ground is a good day, right?
So we usually like to start these off with just a simple question. Who is Magic Thighs?
So I skate for the Chattanooga Roller Derby. This is my second season. I play the very important role of riding the bench for the B-Railers. Which I'm very excited that I get a chance to do. So, yeah.
Awesome. Right. Awesome. So if we can go back, Chip asked the question, who are you? I'm going to ask the question, who were you before roller derby?
Ooh, okay. Interesting. Let's see. So I started doing derby in 2018, I guess. Before that, I actually worked at Fox 61 and the CW and what? Brand Camera. Wow. And we used to put the bouts on air. And so I ran camera and filmed the CRD games before I was a skater in them.
That's wild. That's crazy.
Okay. So how did you land a sweet gig like that? Working for Fox 61 on the CW and being able to go to, you know, the events and film this, because I'm sure that was super amazing.
It was great. Basically, I interned there, and I did that because I wanted to spend the summer with my now husband. I thought, oh, I'm going to intern at this this little TV station in Chattanooga. I'm originally from St. Louis. I'll spend the summer with my boyfriend. It'll be fun. And that turned into a full-time position.
Awesome. Awesome.
So what are some things you learned? I assume you don't work there anymore. Or are you still with Fox 61?
No, I don't work there anymore. That was.
So
first job straight out of college.
Ah, okay. So what are some of the things you learned while working at Fox 61 that have helped you, throughout your career so far?
Ooh, one of the things I think is just dealing with, I think I can say this because I'm not there anymore, but dealing with a kind of a high pressure environment. Television's very fast turnaround. How to do things quickly is something I learned there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, especially with like late breaking news and, you know, weather report changes and, you know, like meteorologists have the right answers. Right. yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you said you were born in St. Louis. Is that correct? Okay, so did you also go to college in St. Louis and then come down here, or did you school here in Chattanooga?
I went to college in a town called Cape Girardeau. That's 2 hours outside of St. Louis, and there's nothing really there but the college that I went to.
Oh wow, that's crazy!
It's just a college town.
Yeah,
college and corn. That's it.
Corn. I had to do it, Bob. I'm sorry. She said it. Don't get mad at me.
Yes.
I don't know what I triggered, but okay.
Just tell the story. My niece was stranded in Illinois. Yeah, I know. Obviously, we live in Chattanooga. My niece was stranded in Illinois, so I needed to go pick her up. Talon rode with me. Well, once you get so far into King Turkey, you just pass nothing but cornfields, and his running gag was every time we would see a cornfield, he would say corn.
I get that. I also have to announce the presence of cows when driving. You just gotta, it's a rule.
Yeah.
But I would say it in the most annoying way possible. Cause at the time, literally like, cause there are certain times cause he has a satellite radio in his car, but as you're driving through these, you know, middle of nowhere cornfields, you lose signal to literally everything. No cell phone service, yep. No satellite radio, nothing. So all you had to do was just sit there, and I was bored as hell, and I was just leaning my head out the window. I just said, "Hey, Chip." He's like, "What?" "Corn." He's like, "Talon, shut the fuck up." And that was for a constant 30 minutes. I just did that. He's like, "Push your ass out this car. Shut up."
Fully the drive. You are describing fully the drive. From my hometown to my college. That's it. There's no radio signal. All there is to do is to just announce everything you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like corn, corn, hell is real, cow, corn. That's it.
Right.
I love it.
So what drew you to want to do roller derby?
Yeah, so actually the first time I was ever introduced to it was in college. So I was a mass communications major, and we were producing these little stories, and it was an assignment that I got. My teacher was like, "Somebody needs to go and somebody needs to cover the roller derby." And I'm like, "I don't know what that means, but fine." you had to have so many packages, and I was one short, and I was like, "Okay, I'll go." And it was really interesting. So like I went and I interviewed the skaters, and I was not getting the kinds of answers you would expect. Like I wasn't getting people just being like, "Yeah, it's fun. It's something to do." Like there was an intensity and a love there. People were saying, "This is my family. This has like saved me." And I was like, "This is wild." and also like I, you know, stayed around and watched practice, and it looked really fun. Now, of course, at the time, I don't know. I know you guys have talked to some roller derby people. I don't know if you know like how much we love recruiting people.
Yes.
Yes. So I think you make episode 10 or 12 of the CRD series. And then we were actually at the first home game. We missed the one on June 10th because we had prior obligations, unfortunately. But yeah, I definitely get the huge recruiting and the sense of family from it. Like, I don't know. It's something like I've never seen before.
It really stood out to me. And at the time, of course, I couldn't get out of there without people being, you know, I was doing the interviews and everyone, I was like, "This is great. This seems really cool." And everyone's like, "You could do it." And I was like, "There's no way. You're mistaken. I don't know why you think this." And so it wasn't years after that that I started skating for North Georgia.
Okay. Any particular place in North Georgia?
Dalton.
Yeah. I think Dalton's the only other place that I know of that maybe has something like a roller derby. I can't think of any other smaller town.
Positive that the North Georgia team is still around. Is it?
It's not. I started there partially just because they were trying to get it started up, which meant they were like, "Come on in. We'll teach you how to skate." Cause I didn't know how to skate. I literally showed up. I have a picture of my first practice that like I keep that I like pull up if I've had like a bad day at practice, because I'm like, I gotta remember I started here. My helmet's too big, it's over my eyes, I've got the like cruddy roller rink skates with like the wheels were so slippery, I have my arms splayed out trying to keep my balance, and that was my first practice. So yeah, they roller derby's hard. You know, it's a DIY sport. You need people to keep it going. And if you can't get the people. You know, we kind of got to a point where there were three or four of us doing everything, and it just wasn't sustainable. But it's all right, because I ended up with Chattanooga, and that's a good place to be.
Right. Who were, did you have any mentors as far as, like, you know, people that helped you along the way, or maybe someone that you maybe have gravitated towards, maybe, like, you know, put you underneath their wing and, you know, helped you out along the way?
That's interesting. I mean, because my aunt, like, there's not a person on that, on the team who hasn't been that person for me at some point.
Okay.
It's like, really, it's the having a team and, like, the support that comes with that, is incredible. I guess if I had, I don't even know if I could pick a particular person, but maybe Hines. Hines is always, and when I was very new, I would, you know, we would go out on a scrimmage and I would come back and Hines would say, okay, and would, like, explain strategy things to me, like, you did this, but think about, like, consider, you know, just, like, different strategy things. And I remember the time being like, I go onto the track, I black out and I come back. Like, I can't actually keep up mentally with anything that's happening. I just move. And so at the time I was kind of like, I wish that I was like, I had the awareness that this person thinks that I have. I'm not there yet. But I'm more there than I was ever before. And so, like, the being able to, like, keep that in the back of my mind until I have the awareness, and having someone really, like, trust you to get there, is nice.
Yeah, because that's very important, especially in a team sport like that. You really have to learn trust, and for her to take time to explain strategy and things of that nature, it shows that she does care and that she does see the potential in you.
Yeah. Well, and I think the first time it happened, I think I was almost, like, more embarrassed, where I was like, she's talking so far above me that I'm like, oh no. But yeah, the more practice I get and the more I get into it, the more I can really appreciate both the advice, but also, like, the attention, especially being like a new skater.
Right.
Yeah, definitely can see that and understand that. So what position do you play? Jammer, blocker, pivot? What do you do?
Mostly I block. I say I ride the bench. I went out last bout and got put into offense. I think I'm going to be putting into offense more, which is fun because that's the one where you hit people. I like that part.
Right.
I'm working on jamming. I got a lot of endurance to build up personally, but I like it. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, jamming looks like there's a lot of, like, you have to have a lot of stamina and endurance, because once you break through the pack, then you're free and clear to go around. And then once you get to the back of the pack, it's a literal fight to get through.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're playing offense and defense, you know, as a blocker and as a jammer, you're just like, I just need to get through. And then you realize, oh shit, they might put me on my ass here. But, like, I mean, when we went and seen you guys play at y'all's first home game, I've seen plenty of girls boom straight. I'm like, oh shit, that looked like it hurt, you know?
Yeah. There are some hard hits. There was definitely a time. So, like, I want to jam. So I practice jamming at its scrimmage as much as possible. And I remember I was, like, fighting, could not get out of the pack. I mean, for, like, way too long, or at least for what felt like way too long. And I finally fight my way out of the pack, break through, and I look at the jam ref who's giving me lead jam, and I was like, there's no way I can be lead jammer because I took so long, and I'm exhausted. Now I got to go and score points and try to get through that pack again? No way. And that's that's the endurance.
Yeah. Do you feel it's as much mental as it is physical?
Ooh, absolutely. I mean, there's something about like being recycled as a jammer where like you fought your way through three people and the fourth person caught you. And now the three people you fought through are back in front of you. That like, that's so tough. Where you're like, I was fighting, right? I was pushing with everything in me and I pushed through these people and now they're back. And I gotta do it again.
Where did they come from? They were back there.
Yeah, there's also something mentally about getting hit. That like I have had to work on, like, I always have like a brief moment of being like offended. I'm like, excuse you. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the game that I'm playing. That's what I'm doing. Okay.
Now, were you athletic growing up? Did you play any sports in, say, high school or college or anything like that?
I played sports until it became real serious. So I played volleyball and I played soccer in grade school, and I loved soccer. But then when I like got into high school, everyone was like, okay, if you're going to play, you have to be like good at this and take it seriously. And I was like, then nah, then I'm done.
You just wanted to have fun.
Yeah. I ended up in Ultimate Frisbee Club instead in high school.
Okay. Hey. Yeah, I can definitely get behind the, you know, just want to have fun aspect of sports. That's where I am with it. Like, if I'm going to play, I just want to go have fun, you know, just hang out with my friends and enjoy this game that we're playing. You know, I don't want to be super competitive and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's
right. I do want to win also.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh no, I always want to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hey, water slide kickball. Hey, you know, it's like, let's take it seriously. No, it's a water slide. We're playing kickball. Let's just play. You know, ain't that serious.
Yeah.
You know. It's like people that go bowling, you know, it's like, you're so serious whenever you start, like, let me show you how this is done. You get that first skirt of ball. It's such a stupid sport. I don't care, you know.
Some of my like earliest memories of like trying to learn like how to regulate my emotions are from bowling, of just like, you know, like being terrible at it, like getting gutter ball after gutter ball and being like, this is fine. I'm having a fun time. This isn't, winning's not important. Having fun's what's important, and I'm having fun.
See, I can't do bowling because I drink too much while I'm there. Mm.
That's what makes it fun, though, bro.
I have this, drinking and me, we don't get along. I try to start fights.
Ooh.
But it's over funny stuff. Like, I try to make jokes, and then when people don't get my jokes, I'm like, I'll just beat your ass. And I can't, yeah. And I can't do that. So
wait, Chip.
Yeah.
The punching machine at Holiday Inn or Holiday Bowl back when it was still around. That whole debacle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the
away from that one?
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
So what's the hardest you've ever been hit on the track?
Honestly, I think the hardest I've ever been hit on the track is during scrimmage, like against my own team. Which is great. It's great that they don't hold back, because, you know, other teams aren't going to hold back. So they shouldn't.
Who was it particularly? Or do you
want to say? Oh, man. I don't want to call him out, but okay. It was bomb.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
can see that. Okay.
When we had her on, she said she likes hitting people. So, but I guess it kind of helps toughen you up and get you ready for the other teams. Cause you're like, okay, if my family is going to hit me this hard, these other girls are going to hit me twice as hard.
So absolutely. Well, yeah. Like I said, it's, there's something about the getting it mentally too, of like shortening that time where there's one, I always get offended, and two, it throws you, you know, it's, you're like, especially if somebody lays you out, you have to get up fast and go back to doing what you were doing instead of like, you want to take a minute to recover. You want to take a minute to lay on the ground and be like, think about your life choices, but you don't have time.
When you and get so, up, do you instantly have like that revenge that just clicks on? Is like, I'm gonna get this. Like, does that come back? Does that happen?
Personally, it's not directed at anyone. What it is like, oh, I'm not going down next time.
Right.
You know, okay. Like yeah. The next time I get hit, I'm not giving up my space. That's my space.
Awesome.
But yeah, that definitely, I mean, it'll ignite a fire in you for sure.
See, I just envision myself, if I was to play roller derby and somebody was to knock me on my ass, like when I get up, I'm immediately skating after that person to knock them on their ass. Like, no, like
it doesn't do you any good.
It's quid pro quo over here. Like, you get what you give.
There's actually, early when I was starting derby, there was a GIF that was going around, and it was of somebody giving a big hit and then helping up the person that they knocked down, and like the person that they knocked down going, that was awesome. And like, that's the vibe of derby that I really love.
Yeah. I never played roller derby, but that's kind of similar to what happened to me. We were at a concert, and a big dude trucked me in the mosh pit, and then he picked me right back up. Here's your glasses, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
now we tend to ask this question to everybody that's on. Do you think that there is a negative stigma towards roller derby in 2023 because of the way it was perceived in like the 80s?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, because I've had a lot of conversations where people are like, I remember that. Is it like that? And I have to be like, well, a lot of the things in that would probably get you sent to the bench. But on the other hand, I mean, I think a lot of people have like fond memories of that, you know, like a lot of the people who talk to me are kind of just excited that roller derby exists in like any fashion, where you're like, it's a bit more athletic and like we have teams and it's not throwing people around. Usually people are like, you throw elbows, and I'm like, no, like throwing elbows will get you sent to the bench. But usually I say that, but that was before I took a elbow straight to my face at last practice. So it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that there is kind of like a divide between like this, I guess you could call it like campy idea of roller derby, right? Of like staged, throwing people around. But if I'm being honest, I think that version of roller derby is fun. You know?
It does look very fun, but it's also on a banked track, which from previous interviews, some of the ladies have been able to like play on a blank bank track, and they said it's like super hard.
It sounds terrifying. I don't understand. Like, I can't parse it in my head how you could do that and also hit people. I don't. But the fact that, I mean, there are people who play bank track, and it's, you know, the same, where it's, you know, very standardized and athletic, and like it's a proper game, and that blows my mind. I don't understand how people do bank track. I think they're magic. So
awesome. We've asked this question also. As you're getting mentally prepared for a game, do you have any pregame rituals or any superstitions? Ooh. Or do you listen to music? Do you, you know, go work out? Do you eat a certain thing? Like, is there any pregame ritual or anything you do beforehand?
I'm thinking about food because what I end up doing is always have like an internal debate of what I should eat and end up like not eating enough because I get like the like nervous stomach where I'm like, I need to eat enough so that I'm not like, I'm not going to be playing hungry, but not so much that like it's going to be a problem. And so I don't have a ritual. It's always like a panicked changing my mind at the last second as far as that's concerned. I don't trust anything. I'm trying to think because really I always help with setup for bouts. And so I think part of my ritual is just keeping myself busy.
Okay.
Thinking as little as possible about the game up until it's time to gear up. Because I think I might talk myself out of playing if I thought about it too much.
Oh, wow. Okay. So like no music or anything goes in your head or anything, or you have like a playlist or anything like that?
No, I do. I have a skating playlist and I have like a gym playlist. Now, sometimes I'll play my gym playlist before scrimmages, but not usually before bouts, because before bouts there's just so much work to do.
Right. What type of music, if you don't mind me asking?
Let me think. I mean, so anything, my playlist is actually called Something Noisy to Skate To. So
I like that.
Yeah. You know,
I like that.
Yeah. Anything kind of I don't know. I like grunge, like okay. Distorted. Yeah.
Little bit of deathcore here and there, it's all good.
Yeah.
okay.
A little Whitechapel, a little Suicide Silence, that's fine.
So what's one thing that people are genuinely surprised to find out about you?
This is a hard one because the answer is playing roller derby, and that's not an interesting answer. not in this context. It's just really funny because I work at a nonprofit.
Okay.
And I work with a lot of older people, and I think there's something, I think maybe it's because they grew up with that like that campy like violent version of roller derby where like they find that fact delightful.
Oh.
in a way that I don't understand. I've had so many like 67 year old women be like, come here, do you know what she does? Like, she does roller derby, isn't that crazy? I've had that conversation so many times. But probably a better answer is that I have a syndicated television show. I co-created a television show that we sold into syndication.
What show is this?
What show is it?
Let's brag. Let's brag.
Yes, brag. What is it?
It's called the say that.
Yeah, it's called The Unseen World. It's a travel documentary series. And so it's over now. We produced 2 seasons of it. And I should say, when I say syndicated, that means we sold it to some local stations where it airs at like 2 p.m. probably. 2 p.m. if I'm lucky, 2 a.m. if I'm not. You can... Let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the places that we went to. We would go to like roadside attractions and interview the people who created them. So like the City Museum is one of the places that we went to.
Okay.
Which is just like a 10-story playground. I love the City Museum. It's so fun. We went to Howard Finster's Paradise Garden. Which is more local. We would go to these places and interview and tell the story about them.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm going to have to look that up. You said that it's the unforeseen world?
The unseen world.
The unseen worlds.
The unseen world.
Writing that down now. I'm gonna go. I'm going to Google it real quick. Yep.
You can stream it at It's Real Good TV. So.
Perfect. So what's your biggest fear? Like,
oh, here's the thing. There's a lot of them. I am naturally a very anxious person. Mm-hmm. What is my biggest fear?
Yeah.
I think, I hate admitting this, but I think my biggest fear is like being like with a group of people and being like the one person that like nobody wants there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel that way sometimes.
Even saying it felt too real.
Yeah.
Those feelings absolutely suck. Because it's like, okay, I was invited, but they don't really want me here. Like, why did they invite me? Like, all this shit goes through your head and you're like, I'm just gonna go home.
Oh yeah. And I also like, I operate on vampire rules. Like, I need a direct invitation, or I assume it's not an invitation, you know.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hieroglyph, the blood of a virgin, all that extra shit here.
Yeah, all that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to say
wow. So with roller derby, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Honestly, if I'm still playing in 5 years, that's a win. You know, really? I'm old.
Oh, bullshit. You're not that old. You can't be.
I'm 34.
Come on. That's not old.
You're younger than me.
Yeah.
When you hit the ground, it feels old.
I was a professional wrestler for 20 years. So.
All right.
Yeah.
When you spend 6 weeks learning how to fall on concrete, you kind of get over the whole "this shit hurts" thing, you know. So yeah.
That's true. Yeah. But no, I right. My immediate goal right now is to be a skating member of the charter and be somebody who goes out. There's basically like 15 out of the 20 who. Are like fully in the rotation. Right now I'm relief. So that's what I'm working towards right now.
So what do you have to do to earn that position of skating member and not relief? What things do you have to achieve to get that?
So for me, like I said, one of the things is endurance. And I need to work on that. Some of it is just the skill of like track awareness. So like as a newer skater, it's very difficult sometimes to like I said, be aware of what's happening on the track. And like be aware quickly. one of the things of like me learning how to play offense is like going in, doing the offense, and then figuring out where you need to go after that. And I want to like pull back and like look at the pack and see where everyone is and then decide on what I need to do. And what I need to get better at is like working on instinct, being way faster than that, doing more, thinking less, I think.
Go in with reckless abandon, right?
Yeah. There's just some skills like my lateral work needs movement, stuff like that. And part of it is just how many people we have on the team. And so making that spot means being one of the, you know, 15 best people on the team. Yeah, so that's what I'm working towards.
Awesome. So in your own words, what does the phrase "I made it" mean?
Ooh. I think just, you know, achieving the goals that you set for yourself. I don't know. I have a hard time with that just because, like, if I've achieved a goal, then I want to set a new one, right? And so I made it feels final in a way that I'll probably never feel, you know? I'll never be like, hey, I did it, cool, done. I think because I always want to set a new goal and try for something else. Although, you know, I guess I made it is getting the opportunity to set a new goal because you've made progress on your last one.
I like that. I like that answer.
I like that answer too. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So here's a fun little question for you. We haven't asked you get to be the first person. We've not asked this to anybody else. Yes. So if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Oh boy.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is the kind of question that like you should have like a answer ready to go for, and I don't. But I'd say, is it bad to pick all authors?
No.
I might pick all authors. Megan Whalen Turner, who wrote the Queen's Thief books, just because I just finished those. And they're so good.
Those are on my to-read list, which is like 300 books at this point, but they're
bump
on
it up there. To the top.
Okay.
They're so good. And let's see, Megan Whalen Turner. What's the name of the person who wrote the Murderbot series? Martha Wells. Okay. And Douglas Adams. That would be a fun crowd, I think.
Okay, and why those three people?
Right now, those are my three favorite books.
Okay.
I think like the Murderbot series and the Queen's Thief series are like, despite the fact that one of them is like sci-fi and one of them is fantasy, but they seem weirdly connected to me in a way that I can't explain. And so I think if I sat both of them down together, I could maybe get to the bottom of it and figure it out and be like, why do I feel like there's something about these stories that feels connected? And I think they could figure it out. And Douglas Adams is just, you know, one of my favorite writers of all time. Magic Thighs is actually a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide.
I thought the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it. So now it makes more sense.
He's the philosopher. So when the two philosophers are having the argument with Deep Thought, saying they don't want an answer to life, the universe, and everything, because then they'd be out of a job. And those two characters are Magic Thighs and Room Fondle. So I keep trying to bully my husband into becoming an NSO so he can be my Room Fondle, but.
Well, I will bully him for you because I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. All right, I got a question for you. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, Mirror Mask.
Mirror Mask. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird movie, but
it is
in a good way. So
you know, it's.
Go ahead.
I was saying it's weird. You know, it's Jim Henson, and it's about trauma with your parents, and that checks a lot of my boxes.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's one of Jim Henson's like more out there projects, but it's good.
Okay.
That's when great. I watched it when I worked at the video store. So, I mean, free movies, yeah. You run through everything that's, you know, on your bucket list to watch.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah. Now you showed me that weird one, that Peter Jackson Fraggle Rock one, whatever it was called. I can't remember the name of that one.
Dark Crystal?
No.
Dark, no.
No, it's not Dark Crystal. It's
You mean The Labyrinth?
No, no, The Labyrinth is but that was good. That's my wife's favorite movie. But not Peter Jackson made some crazy puppet type movie. It kind of reminded me of Fraggle Rock, you know, but I'm gonna have to, while I'm at it, I'm just gonna look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
All right, go ahead.
Because it's really, it's like Muppets on acid.
There you go.
Is the best way. That's the best way to describe it. And
isn't that what Fraggle Rock was anyway?
No.
I know. I'm
Fraggle Rock was a wholesome kids show compared to this. Why can I not find it? It is called... Of course, right? Filmography. There it is. It is called Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, in New Zealand it is called Frogs of War. If you have kids, don't watch it with kids. Because like you first see it and it's like, oh, it's Muppets. And then you see a rat having sex with a hippo and you're like, no, this is not for kids. Yeah.
She's either intrigued or horrified, man. I don't know what that is.
I've heard of Meet the Feebles. The idea that somebody might watch it thinking it for kids is what horrified me.
So at the video store that I worked at, we had a copy. And I couldn't tell you how many people came in and grabbed this. And was like, I'm going to watch this with my children. And how old are your children? And they're like 10. And I'm like, no, do not watch that with your children ever.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, this is why video stores are important.
It is. Video stores are a lost art that I wish were still around. And I would probably still work at one if they existed.
Yeah. There's only one that's still in existence. Well, there's one Blockbuster.
Blockbuster. You
know, yeah. It's like, was it Bend, Oregon or something like that? There was a documentary about it. It's a real interesting documentary.
I legitimately want to move there just so I can work at the last Blockbuster.
Well, and they had an Airbnb in the Blockbuster, but then there was a period of time where you had to live in Oregon in order to, like, it was limited by who lived there.
Yes.
Which is a bummer because that sounds like a great vacation.
Exactly.
They just go to Walmart and just burn copies of the DVD and just put them in the old Blockbuster cases.
Yes. Last question for the evening. What is one piece of advice that you would give to somebody trying to make it in their perspective field? It doesn't have to be roller derby, just that one piece of advice.
I would say get comfortable with being bad at something. Because I think, especially if you're trying something new, I feel like a lot of times as we grow up, we get less comfortable with not immediately being good at something. You know, we try something new and we're like, well, I'm not naturally gifted at this, so I must not be, like, it's not for me, moving on. And I feel like being willing to be bad at something is the first step to getting good at it. And as long as it's something like that you enjoy, that you're having fun doing it, just let yourself be bad, because it's the only way out is through. don't let that, like, don't let that feeling of that fear of, like, not being good enough keep you from what you need to do to get there.
That's awesome
advice. I like that.
Thanks.
Very awesome. So we're at the point in the program where you get to promote all of the stuff that's coming up that is Magic Thighs.
Awesome. Well, so first of all, we have a home bout. I'm going to double check. Yes, August 19th. August 19th at Camp Jordan, which has been a really nice venue. It's a new venue this year, but I think I like it better than where we were before. The parking's better. It's just, we have so much space for vendors too, which is a good thing and a bad thing. I spend a lot of money every time we have a bout. I come home with many pairs of earrings.
I mean, you can never have too many pairs of earrings.
What are your earrings right now that you're wearing?
They are little Derby Lego people.
Oh, that is awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
That is awesome. I couldn't figure out what they were. I don't know if it was like one of them old, what are they called? I'm blanking.
Yeah.
Marionette puppets. There you go.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were little marionette puppets hanging from your ears. I was like, she got marionette puppets. Okay. But now that I see their Lego people, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
My brother actually made these for me. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's very creative. It's awesome.
Anyway, all right.
Promote. Go ahead.
Personally, I have a podcast, if that's okay to promote.
Of course.
I have a podcast that I do with my husband called The Watchathon of Rassilon. We were watching through all of classic Doctor Who, but we actually just recorded Rose, our first episode of the new show. So if that's something you're interested in, you could check that out.
Where can they find it?
Watchyourass.com.
Watchyourass.com. Perfect. That's we'll awesome. Put a link to that in the description below.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been an amazing conversation. So if you'll just hang out with us for just a moment, Talon's going to pay some bills and then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, the broke Sounds guy good. Pays the bill. That's great. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight to this episode of An Evening With. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Chip, anything you want to say before we bounce out of here?
As always, check out movementradio.us. That is your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
And, of course, we got to give love to our sponsor. Shout out to the OG, gearanime.com. audibletrial.com/movementradio. Get Response, Elementor, Just Cash Clothing, w.gg, I'll get that right eventually, Entertainment Earth, Zoo Lily, and Canva. Again, all of our friends and family that's been down with us since day one, you guys know who you are. Thank you so much for the love and support. Thank you to all the fans for all the subs on the YouTube channel, just all the downloads from Spotify and all the other platforms that we have. Can't thank you guys enough. Again, Matt, we appreciate you for being here with us tonight. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for tuning in and watching us. We will catch you guys next time. Hit it with the outro.
Please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and right here on YouTube.
Make sure you check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe. Click that bell to get notified of our latest videos. Check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch. Go copy some merch. And again, movementradio.us, your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.